Okay, good afternoon. I'm Joe Broadhurst. You're listening to CKUT Radio 90.3 in Montreal. And I'm joined this afternoon by Professor David Noble, who is a professor of history at York University. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And you're in Florida. Are you down there on vacation or?
Yeah, just visiting family here.
I'm sure it's much warmer down there than it is here.
Much.
So,
But I won't rub it in.
okay, good. We are going to discuss some recent action that has been taken against you. And I wonder if you could just give us a little history about when this started,
Sure.
as far as going back to last fall.
Yes, certainly. Last year, actually last summer, a student at York University, Dan Freeman Malloy, was summarily banned from the campus and suspended for 3 years by the president of York University, Lorna Marsden, for participating in a pro-Palestinian demonstration and some other alleged transgressions.
Was that on campus?
Yes.
Okay.
That was he went to court, and the court made it clear they would do they would review that decision judicially, and that was enough for the university to rescind it. So he was back on campus. I became involved because when I read about it, I was on sabbatical at the time. When I saw that he was being banned, which was illegal, I immediately hired him as my research assistant to defy the ban. So that was my first connection, actually on the campus with this issue, that is the issue of pro-Palestinian activism. I hadn't really been involved with that. And then Dan, who I had not known, enrolled in a course of mine, a fourth-year seminar. And sometime in October, I believe it was, he and some of his colleagues were again disciplined by the university, this time for participating in a peaceful vigil on behalf of the people in Gaza. And that's what triggered my interest and curiosity and worry, actually.
And that demonstration was off campus, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it was outside the buildings. I'm not sure if it was actually off campus. I don't recall. But it was it suggested to me that that first incident, which I thought was just simply an aberration and you know, some kind of excess, which the administration at York is capable of. But now I thought that there was something more going on. So I started doing, I'm a historian by trade, and I just tried to connect some of the dots and ended up making what were very surprising connections, surprising to me, between the Israel lobby in Canada, and especially in Ontario and Toronto, and the York University Foundation, which is the main money machine for York University. It had been set up in 2002. So I looked at the board of directors of the York University Foundation, and I found a very significant incidence of the members of that board being also members of Israeli lobbying and fundraising agencies. I also discovered some other things about various members of the board, which were later exposed in the Toronto Star and elsewhere, a very questionable land deal, a deal having to do with the Argos football stadium and things like that. And I put together a two-page leaflet called The Tail That Wags the Dog, the York University Foundation. And it was, like I said, 2 pages, actually 2 sides of one sheet, where I listed various of these issues, and then on the other side I listed some of the members of the board with their affiliations. So something like an interlocking directorate sort of thing, and indicating very clearly the links with Israeli lobbying and fundraising organizations, okay, and suggesting, and that was the word, suggesting. In fact, the thing was entitled, after the subtitle was Some Suggestions for Further Research. And it suggested that perhaps this connection with Israeli lobbying organizations had something to do with York University administration's repression of pro-Palestinian activists. So that was that was the message. I gave that to a number of people, primarily in my classes. That particular class was doing an analysis class project of repression at York University, which had really intensified. And so I handed that leaflet or that two-page document out to some of the students in that class. And the next day when I was leaving class, I noticed an ad for a film which was being sponsored by SPHR, which at that time I didn't even know what that was. And it was a film, the title of which, I don't remember the full title, but it had the words Promised Land in the title. I had just finished completing a book with the title Beyond the Promised Land, and that's what caught my attention. I went to see the film. It was a film about the influence of the Israeli lobby in the United States on the American media, and in particular their coverage of the Middle East. When the film was over, one of the people who was sponsoring it said that this is very interesting, and it's not just happening in the U.S., it's also happening in Canada. And at that point, I stood up and I said, it's not only happening in Canada in general, but it's also happening here at York University. I had three or four copies of that leaflet left. I told people I had some information that, you know, someone might be interested in, and I handed whatever I had left, three or four copies, I handed them out. And that was on November 18th, around 6 p.m. By 5 p.m. the very next day, less than 24 hours later, I got a call from Caroline Alfonso, a reporter at the Globe and Mail, telling me that she'd received press releases from the Canadian Jewish Congress and from York University, the York University Foundation, condemning me as an anti-Semite, a bigot, and asking for my comments. So that was the event last year, and essentially what that press release from York University said was that I was targeting Jewish people and identifying people solely on the basis of their ethnicity, and because I was doing that, I was, again, a bigot, an anti-Semite, and what have you. Okay. Caroline Alfonso told me this. I had known her from earlier stories that we worked on together. And I told her, I think, that she was being used. I also laughed because I'm Jewish myself and offered to send her a copy of a certificate in Hebrew of my circumcision to confirm that I was of the faith. She told me that wasn't necessary, and she took my word for it. And so that was pretty much it. And then about a week later, I received an exchange, an email exchange from an alumnus by the name of Godlewski, Mario Godlewski, who had written to the Free Speech Committee at York, which had been set up in the wake of the Dan Freeman Malloy incident. He sent an email to them condemning the university and for what they did to me and urging them to take action. He sent a copy of that email to the office of the president, and astonishingly, the president herself responded to him in email and repeated the defamatory statements that I was identifying people solely on the basis of their ethnicity, etc. So that's the background. So I immediately filed a grievance with my union for $10 million, charging the university with a violation of my academic freedom.
Now, which union is that?
It's York University Faculty Association. It's an autonomous, if you're familiar with faculty associations in Canada, or I should say they differ from province to province, but they have affiliation with the Canadian Association of University Teachers, which is the umbrella federation, but they are autonomous and not all that militant, let's put it that way. But anyway, I filed a grievance demanding $10 million and an apology, et cetera, for violation of my academic freedom and defamation. And it is that grievance which has finally, a year later, gotten to arbitration. And the arbitration began on November 21st. There was another session on November 30th. And these concerned, well, the focus of those sessions was a jurisdictional question raised by York, whether or not the arbitrator could hear this case whether or not it had to go to court because it entails defamation. And on December 14th, the next session will take place, and presumably I will testify. And on December 20th, I've asked Noam Chomsky, who is a former colleague of mine. I taught at MIT for 10 years. And he will be coming up on the 20th to testify on my behalf about the use of anti-Semitism as a weapon to isolate people and silence people.
Now, the arbitrator put a gag order, is that correct, on the parties?
Well, the first day, the York University lawyers asked the arbitrator, there were about four or five people observing, who came in to observe the arbitration, and York asked the arbitrator to essentially gag them from saying anything about what they heard outside, which he then did. Now, I don't know exactly what the legal basis of that act is. It was not challenged by the union, despite my insistence that this all be open and public. That might change, and we'll see.
So, are you representing yourself, or...?
No, this is crucial. That the reason I'm doing this whole process is because legally, as an employee of York University, I am bound by the collective bargaining agreement to take actions against my employer through the grievance procedure, okay, so that the actual parties here are York University Faculty Association and their attorneys, their lawyers who are retained by the union, and York University. I am what's called the griever, and they are presumably representing my interests, but they are representing the union.
And can anybody attend the arbitration meetings?
Yes, and I would encourage any of your listeners who will be in Toronto on those dates to attend. It's at a place called the JPR Arbitration Center.
And I think I have an address for that. That's at 390 Bay Street, Suite 400 in Toronto.
Right, on the corner of Bay and Richmond. It's 10 a.m. on December 14th and 10 a.m. on December 20th. And as I said before, I'll be testifying, and Noam Chomsky will be testifying.
On the 20th, okay.
Right.
I just want to quickly talk about the president, Lorna Marsden.
Right.
From your perspective, do you believe that she is being influenced by Jewish groups?
Well, let me make it clear, first of all, that I have never met her, okay?
Okay.
So I don't know her from Adam. But I have every reason to believe that, as a historian, if I were to conjecture, I would guess that, yes. That when Daniel Pipes came to York University, and the Canadian Jewish Congress boasted about its direct contact with Lorna Marsden, and her, urging her to insist that Daniel Pipes speak. My guess as to what happened here is I handed the leaflets out of that film unwittingly. Handed one to a person, a director, I think, of Hillel. I didn't know these people. And they probably gave it to Canadian Jewish Congress. Canadian Jewish Congress called Lorna and demanded action. Canadian Jewish Congress's press release, which went out simultaneous, actually a little early, before York's, contained a statement saying that they are pleased that York University has taken action on this. So let's just say it would be implausible that they were not acting in concert. And what probably happened is when the thing went out, the press release, Lorna Marsden is quoted first in the press release, and the reporter, Alfonso, who's a pretty competent reporter, she would no doubt have called the president herself rather than go through media relations since the president was quoted. So she has told me, Caroline Alfonso told me, that the spokesperson for York identified me by name, and that was probably Marsden. This is also this suspicion is strengthened by the exchange with Godlewski. Godlewski had just simply written to the Free Speech Committee, and remarkably, the president herself responded and repeated the defamation. So that suggests to me that she was acting, let's just say ex cathedra, I mean independently from the institution.
Okay. Well, so after December 20th, you'll have an answer as far as will it then go to court or will they?
Well, I'm supposed to hear the arbitrator, whose name, by the way, is Russell Goodfellow, has indicated that he would make his decision about the jurisdictional question before the next hearing date, which is December 14th. So that could be at any time. I'm confident that he will hear this. The law is very much on our side in this. That is, there's a case called Weber that makes it very clear that the arbitrator can, you know, hear these kinds of cases. So if he decides that he's not going to hear it, there's no big deal. I'll just, you know, go straight to court.
Okay, and are you asking people to contact the arbitrator or
the all of them? That is, I'm asking people, again, if they have anything to say about it, or, you know, to express their interest and what have you, to the union. And to the union is York University Faculty Association, phone number 416-736-5236. And York University, 736-2100, that's area code 416. And Russell Goodfellow, whose number I don't have.
I actually have that. That is 905-337-0033.
Right. I mean, what's fascinating, I was just watching TV, and Saddam Hussein's trial is televised, and this arbitration, there's a gag order on it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So why the university wants such a gag order, and why the union actually has thus far gone along with it, is a very interesting question in and of itself.
Okay, well, I hope that some of our listeners will take some action and make some phone calls, and I wish you good luck in your process.
Well, thanks.
And hope for the best in the future.
Thanks for your interest.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.